But one of the nice things about, I think, going to Catholic school is that you develop a sense of humor about spiritual things. Because it's just so ridiculous after a while that whatever you're being taught, that you just have to laugh at it. And so when I was in high school, for example, when one of the priests would say about something evil or something, and the priest would say, Mr. McKitchen, would you like to share with the class what you and Mr. So-and-so over there were talking about? And I would say, we're talking about how God is just pure love, Father, and how it just rains down upon us all every moment. And there'd be this silence. Because what can you say? You know, it's just, and I'd sit there like, well, what do you expect me to say? We're talking about, we'd be talking about whether there's a G flat or a G chord in this one song that, that this one group is playing, that we were trying to learn or something. What were you actually going to talk about? So we always used to come up with things like, God is pure love, Father. Or we are talking about embracing the Christian pathway, Father, and how it's just something that liberates you. It was just like, I don't know. It just, there was just something very humorous about it. And it's, I like to, I begin with that thought about humor because we're going to talk about the seventh chakra. And what I find, I mean, what I would say we find humorous about situations such as that involving religion is that, as many of you have heard me say, religion is nothing to do with spirituality. It has to do with the relationship of people to each other. It has to do with our concepts, our shared concepts and beliefs about what we think a God might be like. And some of us like to get together in groups that share similar beliefs, ideas. And these are things that, if you view it from the, you notice the people that seem most upset about religion, you never notice that there's any apparitions usually of entities that come and say, we're upset about, angels never come and say, God is upset about how you view religion in this world. You notice, even when like these visitations from other entities come, the angels are usually say, talk about some kind of concept like love. They don't really say, people aren't being good, fundamentalists or good Catholics. They don't get into that. This is because from a non-physical plane point of view, religion is very funny. Religion's very funny. It's just something that is humorous because it's just us trying to understand ourselves and our approach to life. People that usually can have an irreverent view, you might say, of sacred ideas are usually people that have an open seventh chakra. Seventh chakra is a very fascinating place in the energy system. Seventh chakra is a transitional point. When your consciousness is in your seventh chakra, your view of what constitutes life is neither focused directly on the physical or the non-physical worlds, but rather a continuum of all of them. So you don't, if you're truly focused in the seventh chakra, you don't say, well, the only reality is the reality of the angels or the reality of God or whatever you call the spiritual entities you find around you. The open seventh chakra sees essentially that there is something called what we call life, some kind of existence that runs a whole spectrum of dimensions from this very physical dimension to the most subtle dimensions. And this provides a very different view of the world than most people will have. Most people view the world from a six chakra perspective, that is, dualistically. We talked about last week how the seventh chakra, I'm sorry, the sixth chakra by its nature has a dualistic quality. And people usually look at the world through a dualistic nature. It's either this, either the spirit world is sacred or human beings are sacred. Our church is sacred, the physical building, or really the, it's not the church that it's important, but God that's important. If you listen to conventional religious thought, you'll hear this. You hear people, some who emphasize the idea of religion as like an extension of social work, charity work. You must feed the hungry, clothe the naked, etc. You hear people talk about religion from that purely almost a metaphysical sense, where the thing that's emphasized the most is the non-physical world. This physical world, they say, is a travesty. It's a cruel joke. We really have light bodies, and we really exist in a non-physical realm. The sixth chakra likes to emphasize one over the other. You can always tell a sixth chakra kind of thought because there's a tendency to weight evidence usually on one side or another in most, in how most people use their sixth chakra, which is to discern what they believe to be the truth, or at least at that moment to believe to be the truth. So the sixth chakra, usually you'll find some kind of weight on one side or the other of an argument. Some of our best music comes out of this duality that people feel, because there's that sense of the tension between which do you choose? Do you choose a life that is of spiritual alternatives, looks at the larger picture? Did you choose a life of physical needs, of taking care of your physical needs, of making the physical aspect of things the most important? This is what a lot of times what we call sacred music, gospel music, is about, that tension. However, a seventh chakra point of view is different. Seventh chakra point of view says, you know, the realm that you think all angels and saints occupy can be just as humorous and funny as watching us here on Earth. The seventh chakra person, who the person who's focused on their seventh chakra, really doesn't have any particular reverence for any one dimension of reality, because they essentially embrace them all. They see them all essentially as of a piece. They don't see one as more sacred than the other. Seventh chakra provides the access point between the physical realm and the non-physical realms, however. And because of this, in order to pass from this physical realm, in other words, those of you that want to travel in an astral way, or even if you want to go beyond the boundaries of the physical dimensions, that say, in order to get, say, from here to New York, you have to take a plane. Well, if your seventh chakra is open, going from here to New York is just a matter of, I am now in New York. Most people believe it's much more complex than that. That's part of the great joke I feel about the kind of work I do, especially, is that people think that a lot of the work I do that involves astral travel, that involves healing at a distance, mediumship, all these are seventh chakra kind of abilities. They all think it's very hard. It's actually very simple. Seventh chakra works on one basic principle. Do you believe it? If you believe it, you do it. If you can't believe it, you can't do it. If you believe that life only exists in the body, you will not be able to work outside of the limits of your physical body form. If you believe that life is a continuum that goes through both the physical and non-physical realms, then leaving your body carries no fear to you. So to me, an entity that appears and disappears, say like Ramada. Ramada appears and disappears as he is needed. That entity is just as much alive to me as any of you that I might see almost every day. I don't consider you life and him not life. I don't consider him a better form of life and you a worse form of life. It's just life. You just happen to have a physical casing around what you call life right now. And that makes for certain problems you have. I think entities that don't have physical forms have certain difficulties too. So to me, it's all, it's all of a piece. What allows you to access the non-physical realms available through the seventh chakra is simply belief. Seventh chakra, its openness, how, what you can do with the seventh chakra is just purely based on what you actually believe. And beliefs are, how can we separate beliefs from, say, what the sixth chakra does? Well, let's think of it this way. The sixth chakra has experiences. It says, every time that I meet this one person, we've had a good time so far. So every time Beverly and I go out and climb Mount Shasta, we've had a great time. And so my sixth chakra says, Beverly, good. I believe I will have a good time. My sixth chakra would say, I believe I'm going to have a good time when Beverly and I go climb Mount Shasta. So then one time we go climb Mount Shasta, and I fall 50 feet, and Beverly has to climb down the crevasse and pull me up by my collar and save me. And then the next time we go, there's such a heavy thunderstorm and rainstorm that basically we can't go climb the mountain. And so then, say, the next five times, something happens that makes our time miserable. Well, now the sixth chakra has a problem. Originally, it said, my experience tells me that every time Beverly and I go to Mount Shasta, we have a great time. We see visions, you know, we have a great time just enjoying nature. And yet, now my experience tells me, boy, we had a lousy time. I fell down a crevasse, it rained, you know. So the sixth chakra now has a problem. What was once a belief is now something that falls into this odd position that I call wisdom. I don't see, we tend to worship wisdom. We tend to worship this idea that we've experienced something and we understand it. But to me, that understanding is just this temporary phase that exists. We have something akin now, we have experience that tells us that both things can be possible, that you can have a good time, I can have a good time with Beverly, I can have a bad time with Beverly. So now when I approach Beverly, if I'm working just with my sixth chakra, I don't know what to do. What kind of person should I be? Should I be a person that's open to have a good time and just let go of everything because we always have a good time here? Or should I be a person that's on guard, like look for problems that might arise, prepare myself? What should I do? What should I be? I think of one side, I think of another. I think of we say we're going on a trip, and I say, well, is it going to rain or snow? I don't know what to pack. I don't know whether we should go or not. When you get in one of those situations where you're just looking at column A and column B and trying to make a decision, you're trying to use information in your sixth chakra that has no real conclusion. You have no conclusion about it. It could be good, it could be bad. This is why people that have strong sixth chakras often have a hard time making decisions, because they make decisions usually based on their experiences. Now, your experiences, if you're around long enough, come back enough in enough lifetimes, everything pretty much evens out. It's better to be in a male body, but then you have like about five lousy male lifetimes, and it's like, gee, and you have a good female lifetime, it's like, hey, this is great, wow. Female lifetime, all right, this is the best thing. Then that starts to go sour. And then it's like, now what? Go back to the male lifetime, you know, and you just keep going back and forth. And so when you look at how you should feel about yourself, how you should see yourself, you don't know. Should I be happy I'm in a male body this lifetime? You know, you make a list. Well, I can pee standing up. I can be the object of people's anger for prejudice. You know, you make a list of all the things that you can be. And you look at a female body and you say, oh, I can be part of a group that's discriminated against, you know, but on the other hand, I can have a lot different hairstyles more than men have, and so I, you know, you just go through all these different things. You never know. You don't know what's good or what's bad. Is this a good lifetime? Is it a bad one? Have you ever looked at yourself and said, gee, am I doing good on my spiritual pathway or not? Am I a spiritual person or not? Well, if this is your sixth chakra looking at things. It's seen lifetimes where you've done all the right things. You've prayed, meditated, whatever you were supposed to do to be a good person, and things have turned out great. You felt like you were a good person. And then you've done the same thing in other lifetimes, and geez, you might as well have been a robber or a murderer and just took what you wanted, because what you got out of meditating and everything else was nothing. You had a horrible life. So how do you know? How do you know? Sixth chakra oftentimes leaves you in a place of saying everything is six of one, half a dozen of the other. That's, to me, is the classic sixth chakra approach to things. In fact, if you come to me and you say, you know, I'm looking at this situation and I'm looking at it and it seems like halfway, you know, one half of me wants to do this, another half wants to do that, I actually feel good about it, because it's like, oh, you're actually seeing what's there, that there's no reason really to choose one thing over the other. Because most people, when they make choices, convince themselves of one thing or another. They choose to emphasize one set of data over another. Now, when you come to the seventh chakra, you're not dealing with more, you're dealing with concepts that have evolved with you over time. And the best way I can describe to you concepts that, or energy forms that fit in your seventh chakra, is there are things that you incontrovertibly believe in. For whatever reason you have come to this belief, these things you hold strongly without question sit in the seventh chakra. Think of the sixth chakra as, we don't really know yet, the jury's still out. But once something happens and the jury comes in and makes the vote, there's a belief that develops in the seventh chakra. There's a belief there. Beliefs in the seventh chakra can be very specific or can just be very general. They can be very general. If you, for example, if my definition of life is that which has a body can speak to me, I can reach out and touch, if I believe that, I'm not going to have the permission to see ghosts, to see my grandfather sitting at my bedside after he dies trying to speak to me. I'm not going to see anything that doesn't directly have physical form, because my beliefs say that that world doesn't exist. And if it's in the seventh chakra, I have seen incontroversial proof of it. It's hard to change someone's seventh chakra. It's easy to change the sixth chakra, the mind. The seventh chakra is very hard to change. For example, one of the common beliefs in seventh chakra is that there is a God, and God and is a man. I mean, that's one of the real basic beliefs that most people have. God is a man. Now, I'm not talking about what the sixth chakra has learned to think. So, for example, you can see people learning, because they've always said he, that when they reference to God, if they get yelled at enough, or if they give them enough trouble about it, they'll start saying, well, God, you know, she. They'll say she instead of he. Now, it doesn't mean they actually believe that. It's just like, you know, if your cat jumps up on the counter and you squirt it, and it jumps up again and you squirt it, and you keep doing this over and over again, finally something the cat goes, oh, counter, wet, no good, don't do. So if I yell at you and say, you're very prejudiced by thinking that God is only male enough, you'll learn to say God is female, or God is androgynous, or whatever you want to call that form. But will it change your belief? So when you're praying and you hear an answer from God, would you hear it in a female voice? No, most people, when they hear an answer from God, hear, hello, Carmen, build an ark. You know, they hear something, you know, this is what they hear. Very, you know, and it's one of those things that when you talk, I would ask you to think of it this way. When you're praying and you get an answer, listen to that voice, because that voice usually, in some ways, tells you what your actual belief about what a spiritual, what a God is, what divinity is. And many people believe, because of just the cultural training that we have, we tend to think of it in terms of being a man. So you say, well, so what? So there's a God, and whether it's a man or woman, what does it matter? Well, it matters in terms of what kind of world you experience. Now, in the non-physical dimensions, there are whole, I don't know how to describe it to you, except that there are whole universes that exist with very little reference to this one. Some of these universes are filled with forms that you would think of as male forms, all of which think that they know the score. You know, it's like one of those science fiction movies like Star Trek, where they come to some planet and there's all these beings that say, well, we've evolved the idea that being, you know, having a body is simply a degenerate form, so we are all mental energy. And they all happen to speak in a male way too, which I think is interesting. And these entities have their own realm of existence. It has nothing really to do with us. But if you think God is a man, when you go looking for God, when what will be open to you on the non-physical planes is one of these realms. So you'll go up there, and all of a sudden, you can be in this realm where there are all these entities that have no physical form, that have very bright lights, that all think they're very smart, too. And they have this presentation of being a male energy. And you'll say, oh, I'm in heaven, or oh, I'm in the great place of wisdom. I found it. It's like you go to a neighborhood in a city and say, I've learned all I can about Sacramento because I've lived in Tahoe Park here. It's the essence of the city. Well, Sacramento is real different, depending on where you live. Astral planes, the non-physical dimensions are very different. So if you believe that ultimately God is a man, that when you go opening up for help, when you try to pray and send your energy to other realms, it will go to realms that are dominated by what you think of as male energy. What that means is you go to realms where people project. Male energy tends to have a more projecting function. It is not a bad function. It just tends to say, if energy here is good inside me, it'll be better if it's projected over there too. So they project it over there. Well, that's how you'll approach spirituality. You'll say, well, if I believe this, it must be good for everybody, so I'm going to make Joan believe this too. Joan, have you heard the word? Look, here's the book. Read it. I will take that attitude. In other words, what you believe shapes the universe that you ultimately exist in, the universe you allow yourself to experience. Those of you that work with me, you know that I oftentimes encourage you to have more open beliefs. Believe in, if you want to believe in God, try believing in divinity rather than him or rather than her. Simply because in believing in a divinity, you can connect with a lot more of the non-physical realms and the entities that are there than you will if you have this real limited view of God as man or woman or angel or Yahweh or Allah or any of the other definitions you have of God. Beliefs determine also what you will do with your body. Remember, the seventh chakra is a mixed chakra. It's about both the physical and non-physical universe you live in. I'd say the physical and the non-physical dimensions you live in. So if your belief in the physical dimension is that there's two sexes and they're created for procreation, and if they're not procreating, then it's an abomination. If that's your belief, then you're not going to explore anything else in your sexuality, say, other than the attraction you feel is right for yourself to have to the opposite of your sex. you literally won't acknowledge or see people that are different than you. I always love that when you talk to people who watch a lot of TV or movies, and they say, oh, I really like so-and-so. It's usually a male actor, and they're, oh, I really like so-and-so, and this and that, and they're really into what a man's man he is, and, you know, how he'd be a wonderful father and a partner and all, and you say, well, you know, so-and-so is gay. It's this gay man. They don't believe you because they can't see it. It's just in their seventh chakra. They don't believe in anything else other than man, woman. Well, what could be more natural? Watch the word natural. That's another word for belief. Okay? It's natural that men and women would be together because that's how babies are created. What else are we here to do besides perpetrate the species and have children? That's a belief. That's natural, they say. Well, no, that's belief. That's just a belief. And so literally that person won't see. They'll walk through the Castro district and say, gee, the men here dress very nicely. And they seem to dress kind of alike, and it's interesting here. I guess the men in San Francisco have a certain style. Yeah, hon, they do. You know, it's like, what? It just doesn't exist because I don't believe it exists. I don't believe it. This goes for the roles that people play, too. This goes for the roles that people play. What I find interesting is that whole process that we're still going through, that, for example, women are still coming into jobs that were more traditionally, say, male jobs. And it's really interesting just to work with people that have been through that transition, because it's really interesting, because you'll have some people, for example, I always think of my father this way, because my father was a civil engineer, and he was a surveyor. And one thing, you know, my father certainly wasn't, how can I say, Mr. Universal, Mr. Enlightenment. But one thing I always say for him, He says, I believe if a person can do the job, then they should have the job. So when they gave my father a woman who was a surveyor, a woman who was an engineer, he was like, hey, she's good. That's great. Hey, great. Come on in. And that was it for him. Enough said. However, you know, like there were different, he worked for the city of Philadelphia. They had different survey crews, you know, different crew, heads of the crew or what have you. Some of these guys just, they couldn't see it. They just couldn't, they had no belief in the idea. Women just weren't engineers. They're not good with numbers. They're emotional. All these things, it was funny listening to all the things they would say. And my father was just like, you could see, and for him it was simply, he believes, he's one of those work-orientated people. If you can do the work, you can have the job. What's so big? To him it's like, it's so cut and dried. It's not even funny. It's like, you're a doctor, it's a woman, great. You know what, you look at my heart and you know what's going on? He doesn't care. But it's interesting to watch just how sometimes just being in a non-traditional role, a role that isn't supported by a lot of belief in people, can challenge people, can challenge people. We believe that God is male, a lot of people believe that. As a result, most of the religious leaders of this country, in fact, almost all of them, are men. What's more natural than see a guy up there telling you the wisdom of the world? How many women do you see doing that? Not many. I mean, you see, there's some really good Christian women preachers who are actually very, very good that you see here and there, but they're not running the moral majority. They're not running the 700 Club. They are not, you know, we will die before, all of us in this room will be dead before there'll be a female pope. I mean, all of us in this room will be dead probably before, in the Catholic Church, a woman legitimately says Mass with the Pope's blessing. You know, so I just want you to just realize that these, what is pervasive in our society, the pervasive ideas that we have about what, who represents, especially the non-physical realm, spirituality, are, what we see around us is largely a reflection of our beliefs. And so there are a lot of people who have had some experience that to them just says, you know, I know it for a fact that spirituality is this male thing. Now, I just want you to see that a belief for you is just something that is true for you. It is not something that is universally accepted by all. I don't see spirituality as a male bastion. I don't believe that. And so, to me, what I look at, what I have seen as representing divinity is opposite, totally opposite of what many people see. So remember, when I say something that you, a belief is something you consider absolutely true, remember, it's true for you. All it means is for you, the book is closed. God is a man, period. End of discussion. We can discuss what kind of man he is, what relationship he has to us, but we are not going to discuss whether he's a man or not. We're not. Changing beliefs, as you can imagine, therefore, is very hard. What usually makes people change their seventh chakra is something catastrophic, something that affects them physically in a way that makes them realize that the beliefs they have are not going to support the survival of the physical entity. Our dear old physical selves are always our, how do you say, our last bastion of change. When we run out of ways to teach ourselves something, we get to the physical body real quick. So someone around us dies, we get deathly sick, there's a big accident. Usually you need something catastrophic to change the beliefs of the seventh chakra. So literally, you know, one day, for someone that believes that God is totally a male energy, it's literally going to take that person to have some kind of experience where they see divinity as flowing through a female form before they're going to even consider. And it's going to have to be something that means something to them, something that helps them in a very tangible way. And then beliefs change. But they're usually, the only thing that changes beliefs is something that comes in and affects us directly and physically. And this is why it's hard to change the seventh chakra. And this is why many of you who've said, yes, I have to change my beliefs about myself. Have you ever found yourself saying that? I have to change the way I believe about myself. Once you say that, usually you're setting up something where you will basically make your life fall apart. Because you won't. You need something that makes you feel like you're drowning in order to change your beliefs. You need to be, metaphorically, you need to be, you know, drowning, going down for the third time and saying the prayer to God that has always worked in the past and have it not work and feel yourself sinking through the water and say, maybe it's time to pray to Gaia. Hello, Gaia. And all of a sudden, if the energy changes and you come up, Gaia becomes a belief. Gaia becomes a belief. So in other words, you have to change the way you access. If you want to be computer-wise about it, you have to change the access code that you have to the rest of the universe. Differentiate the seventh chakra from the sixth chakra a little more. Sixth chakra people tend to see other worlds too. Like in other words, if your emphasis is on your sixth chakra, you'll see other worlds. But usually, to the untrained sixth chakra, what you will see are worlds that are directly connected to this one in some way. So, for example, here's I use myself a lot of times as a seventh chakra example, because that's one of my emphasis in my energy system is an open seventh chakra. So when I look in this room, there are whole sets of entities that just are coming and going. They're just like walking through all of you that have, they don't care what I'm doing here. They're just, this is just like, it's as if we're in the middle of 14th Avenue and 60th Street and we're having a class to them. It's like, and they're going, they're walking through. They have nothing to do with this room, what I'm talking about, or anything. They're just, they're going to the liquor store or wherever they're going. It has nothing to do with us. Sixth chakra wouldn't see that. The sixth chakra would look and say, wow, in the corners of the rooms, there's all these really fearsome-looking beings. And this is true. There's all these, essentially, these hungry beings that essentially, after you're done your class and you've shed a lot of your emotional problems, will just come here and just go, and we'll eat it up. Now, they are site-specific. That is, they are here because they know that I do this work here. It's like, and I don't mean disrespect to them, it's like a pack of dogs. It's like they know that basically we kill the chickens here. And so there, you know, any blood that's around, you know, they're waiting. It's like, you know, when we used to catch fish and we would sit outside and clean them, and all of a sudden every cat in the neighborhood would be sitting there waiting. Because they knew sooner or later you'd be done, and then there'd be, you know, little fish scraps everywhere. They think it was great. And so if you have a sharp sixth chakra, you look in the corners of the room, you see these entities, and it's like, whoa. If you have a seventh chakra, it's like you don't hardly notice those entities because essentially there's so much else just wandering through this area. As I say, it's like being on a public street and having a class. Seventh chakra will perceive things. A very open seventh chakra simply perceives that there are universe upon universe upon universe upon universe that exists. And that is just one layer of things. It's like we're in Sacramento, but you know there's Chicago, there's LA, there's San Francisco, there's all these things that really don't have a lot of relationship to us. Sixth chakra sees ghosts. Sixth chakra says, this is a haunted house. Sixth chakra walks into a hotel room and says, ooh, I see, oh, the leftover thought forms of who was here last. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Seventh chakra person walks into a hotel room, you know, there's the thought forms of who was there last, there's, you know, there's whatever, if you're in a forest, I was just in the Yosemite area, you know, so you have these forest spirits wandering through this modern hotel. It's really amazing, and you're sitting in your room, and it's like, the trolls come wandering through, literally, and you're just sitting there like, well, here we're okay. A luxury hotel, and they're walking through. Sixth chakra people tend to look at things more in relationship to themselves simply because they are seeing something. They get, you know, all of us have gone through phases where you say, God, I saw this. Oh, I saw that. You know, I went to this hotel room, and I don't know what the people who used it before us were doing, but, oh, there was some ugly pictures in there. Ugh. And you just, but, you know, it's your reality. You're seeing it, and you are seeing it. You're having the experience of seeing it. Seventh chakra person, you know, it's simply, there's so much going on. There's so many things happening that to claim any responsibility for them just seems ludicrous. It's just like me sitting here and saying to you, God, there's a whole United States outside this room. It's like, yeah, and, you know, that's the seventh chakra. Your seventh chakra reaction is like, all this is here, and it has no real relation to you. If you have an open seventh chakra, it's very easy for you to take human beings out of the central place in the universe. You just know that it would be just like saying the ants are the king of the earth. It's like, why pick the ants over the mosquitoes or the cockroaches or, you know, all these other entities, which there are billions and billions and billions of. People who have an open seventh chakra are usually the ones that say, "Oh yeah, aliens, yeah, they exist." This is different from the Six Chakra point of view, which says, "I've been abducted by aliens." It's very specific. I was abducted by aliens. The aliens came to my house to see me, and to attach a probe or something to me. Six Chakra tends to have that sense always of, I'm seeing it. Something's happening to me. Seventh Chakra, it's just more like you're on a tour bus and you're just going through a city and you're going, oh, and here's the cafe district and here's the theater district, and they exist and you have really very little effect on them, and they on you. You're just watching it go through. Seventh chakra, if you have an emphasis on the seventh chakra, you probably, because you have an expanded sense of reality, it's very hard at times to get motivated to do things on the physical plane because it just isn't as important to you as someone who is using just the lower six chakras. Six chakra looks and says, this room's a mess, clean it up. It offends my sense of order. Seventh chakra can look and say, this room is messy, but, it's even less than a dot. It's even less than a dot within a grain of sand in the universe. And so it's not like the universe is messy. It's just, I walk two steps away. I can be in another dimension that there's no mess at all. So seventh chakra, one thing I notice about seventh chakra people, they tend to have a lot of clutter. Things just clutter up. Sometimes their houses have real different. You go in the living room and there's like, it's a whole world there. And then you go into another room and it's like a very different world. So you can go in the living room and there's like a big screen TV and surround sound and video games. And you can go into their living room and there's a big altar to Vishnu and there's no furniture, there's no technology allowed in the room, everything is just, carpeting, just carpets and pillows, And then you go in another room and there's like this country motif and there's this big four-poster bed and a canopy. They can really have this sense of the universe is such a multitudinous, it has so many different aspects to it that they oftentimes lack a style, I guess would be the way to say it. So you don't walk in their house and say, a good example of Danish modern. You look in their house and say, gee, a weird person lives here. what's this thing here? Sometimes seventh chakra, people have an emphasis on the seventh chakra, have to balance it off by being very first chakra in their approach to things. So sometimes the most spiritual people are the ones that seem to get obsessed by the physical plane. They usually oftentimes use it as a balance. If you're not at home with having an open seventh chakra, you will tend to obsess with the first chakra. This can come from a lot of other causes too, but if part of the time you sit in meditation and you just feel wonderful and everything is blended together, and the other half of the time you spend yelling about how you don't like the way your money's being spent or you're not getting paid enough at your job or something, you might think of the fact that you're just trying to compensate for a view of the world which doesn't emphasize the physical plane. In other words, you have to forcibly emphasize it. Forcibly emphasize it. This is oftentimes when you go through that phase of your spiritual pathway where your seventh chakra begins to open more. That's when you start to, if you've never, for example, if you've never obsessed about money or having enough money before, that's when you'll start to do it as a counterbalance, as a counterbalance to things.
if you're focused on your seventh chakra, it's very hard to be attached to anything. Because one of the things that I would suggest to you, and this is a suggestion, one of the things I would suggest to you fuels the need for attachment is a view of the world that is very limited. So think of it this way. If you looked around and in the next minute everything dissolved except for this room and we were left on this planet with the people in this room, this is it. And so if you wanted a partner, you have to choose a partner for someone in this room. The person you chose, because these are your only options, I would suggest you'd be much more attached to them than if, you know, I said to you, well, you know, there's a whole world out there, you know, whoever you want to have a partner with, you know, there's a whole world of people to look at. You'd be a lot less attached. The more limited your view of things, the more attached I would suggest that you get to things. That's why for some people, while some people emphasize their first chakra as trying to rebalance their opening in the seventh, some people, when they have the seventh chakra opening, all of a sudden the multitude of things that can happen to them floods them and they just feel giddy. They say, wow. So, you know, for example, if you're in a relationship and all your friends have said, oh, this was the real this was such a good relationship. God meant you to be together, and he knows, of course, what he's talking about. And they say all these things about you, and then you see you get divorced, and all of a sudden your belief that says this is the only person in the world for me, and that's a belief too, okay, says that there's only one person in the world for me, well, all of a sudden that belief is shattered because that one person just, you know, left you for, the person that runs the espresso machine at the coffee place or something. And all of a sudden, you say, wow, your seventh chakra opens. You say, oh, I believe that there can be many soulmates, you know? You ever notice people go through that phase? First, there's a soulmate that is the one person. And then you notice after that doesn't work out, after they try that a couple times and that doesn't kind of click, then there's many possible soulmates. There's about 5 or 10 people that we'd all just perfectly get along with. So it's like, okay, so you watch their world expand little by little. But sometimes they get giddy. They say, wow, there's all these different kind of people. If you've ever been in a relationship for a long time and you start to think, oh, this is what having a partner is like, and then that relationship ends and you allow yourself to meet someone totally different, it's always an amazing experience, you know? It's like you notice things that, say, might have bothered the other partner and started a big fight. All of a sudden you realize that there are people that are not bothered by that particular problem. You know, like, dealt with one couple one time when they were getting divorced. One of the things that the one partner hated about the other is that one would always watch television. And the one that watched television couldn't figure it out because, you know, they would watch, he was a man in this case, he would watch TV, he had certain things he liked to watch, and he wasn't like one of those turn the TV on, just leave it on. He was like, oh, I like to watch this show, and this show, and they'd put it on. And it was amazing how every week, whatever time these shows were on, always coincided with some time that his partner had to talk about some major issue in their relationship, and so they would have this fight all the time. And after a while they divorced, and, you know, it was really funny because when he finally met someone else and was together with this person, one time he came to me and said, you know, now if I sit down and turn on the TV, the person comes and says, gee, what you watching? And they sit down next to me and they watch it. And if they don't like it, they leave, and if they like it, we sit there and we watch it, and it's over, you turn it off. And it was like, wow, it was so amazing. Look on his face like, wow, you mean it's not a crime to watch TV? And I was like, no, it really isn't, you know. You can look up in the book. It doesn't say anything about TV being bad. It's just that you get used to certain ideas. You get used to certain ways of being. When the seventh chakra opens, there's a real sense of liberation oftentimes. There's a real sense of liberation. oftentimes the hard time that gay people have is that they've had to take on a belief in order to get around in the world that they are heterosexual. And then they finally, you know, for some, they finally say, you know, that's just really not true. I don't believe that anymore. And all of a sudden, their world opens up. And all of a sudden, instead of feeling like, oh, I'm stuck with, you know, just this kind of person to be with, or this kind of marriage, for example, all of a sudden they say, gee, I could be with someone I actually like, someone I'm actually attracted to. It's amazing. There's a real sense when the seventh chakra opens of possibility. Because the seventh chakra, like the heart chakra, is a lot about possibilities. What you believe about yourself also sits in the first, in the seventh chakra. And it's true, that basic idea, that basic point that said, when they say if you don't believe something, you can't be it. And it's true. One thing that I would say to you, if you don't believe, for example, that you're a healer, if you don't believe that you're, in a more mundane way, if you don't believe you're someone who's attractive and someone would want to be with you, it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. If you come and work with me or you work with the beings and you're always asking questions about different partners, sooner or later one of us is going to say to you, is going to get you to look at what you actually believe about yourself rather than who would be the suitable partner for you. Do you have a setup inside of yourself that allows you to even seek a suitable partner for yourself? Because literally people that usually are, the people that are happy usually in a partnership already believe that that is a way to be happy. That's why there is something to be said for the idea that what you observe as a child sets you up for what you're going to have later in life. If you don't observe people being happy together in a couple, it's very hard to evolve that belief. If you don't have the experience of it. So sometimes it's very hard for people that have dealt with real dysfunctional real dysfunctional childhoods. They have to literally evolve a series of experiences with people that's positive. And sometimes that just takes a while. That just takes a while. But your belief about yourself, how it works, try to give you an idea of how it works, because it's usually said in this very childlike way. If only you believe, like there's some magic to it. There really isn't. This is what happens. If I believe that I'm a lovable and kind and considerate man and, you know, somewhat handsome, and that I would make a good partner to someone, if I believe that, it sits in my seventh chakra. Now, it starts a resonation that goes out in the non-physical planes, and it's the nature of the universe is things that resonate together, things of the same frequency will tend to bond together. So, literally, I will tend to bond, or I will tend to, this energy, this belief will send out a vibration that will make it much more likely that I will encounter and draw to me someone who resonates with the idea that I'm lovable and kind and considerate and somewhat handsome, that I'd make a good, you know, partner. If I don't have that, my chances are very slim. Then I have to hope that someone projects that image onto me. Now, that can work, but then you're not dealing with your belief about yourself. Then we're dealing about the projection of someone else to you. And then you have to worry about maintaining that projection. And that's something that you should consider when you look at, you know, having a partnership, is that it's a lot of fun if your partner projects onto you through the sixth chakra that you're the most beautiful, lovable, kind, considerate, sexy, everything that you want to know, everything you've always wanted about yourself. It's great. I don't say shun it, but just remember that unless that is your belief too, then you're in trouble, because then you all will be in a position where you have to create an environment that always supports that projection so that the person doesn't stop projecting it to you. So that means, for example, if you ever felt you're in a relationship and you say, well, I really can't get mad at so-and-so, it might be because if you do, they will stop projecting what you need in the relationship. They'll stop projecting that you're someone who's worthy to be loved, for example. So if you are in a relationship and you're saying to yourself, I can't say this, I can't do that, and you have a whole set of limitations, you might look and say, am I trying to preserve a certain projection that this man, this woman has of me? Because when you're trying to gain approval, you're trying to preserve someone else's projection of you, which means that you don't share that projection. You don't believe in it yourself. But, you know, you keep so-and-so around, and hey, he's good for something because he believes in me. And you keep him around. You keep her around. One of the sad seventh chakra things, very rarely do people talk about the sadness in the seventh chakra, but this is something that I've noticed. This is a pattern that a lot of you perhaps will recognize. Seventh chakra, people of the seventh chakra, they usually have a difficulty because when they look at you, they don't look and say, if you're in a male body, they don't simply see you in a male body. They see you on the non-physical level and whatever kind of astral body that you have. If it's more, we all have different forms on astral plane. Some of us are more comfortable with a more female kind of form, some with a more male kind of form on the astral plane. So when they look at you, they don't just look and say, oh, you're in a male body, so you're a man. They look at you and they see every part of you. So you can be in the body, you can be a real snarly kind of evil SOB. Seventh chakra person will look at you and say, gee, you're sweet and kind and good. They are looking at the non-physical projection of you. And the opposite can occur. Someone that seems very meek and very mild, you know, very kind of small and unassuming on the physical plane. The seventh chakra person might be deathly scared of them or frightened of them because they look on the non-physical plane and they just see this big, intense entity that, you know, it has a real strong agenda, and that this kind of little small entity that exists on the physical plane is just a cover for. So oftentimes the seventh chakra person sees a reality that has, to most eyes, no relation to what is actually in front of them. Now, sometimes this becomes, how this becomes oftentimes it brings sadness is this, because generally, and this is another general statement, generally on the non-physical planes, you look like a much more reasonable, balanced person than you are on the physical plane, just generally. So, like right now, if I look at talk to you on the physical plane, you might say, oh, I'm worried about money, or I'm worried about this job, or where I'm living, or this and that. If you look at that same person on the non-physical realms, it's just like, yeah, another day in a physical body, you know, the usual money worries and this and that, nothing special. You know, they're totally calm about it. So there's usually a calmer, more accepting, more compassionate energy that's seen. Not always, but most of the time. Seventh chakra person comes along and sees that in you and sees that in some level is that's what you actually want to be. That's what you actually want to believe about yourself, that you're kind, generous, compassionate, gentle. So they take that image in of you, which they're aware of because their seventh chakra is open, and they project it to you. And They say, you know, so even though, like, say everybody's afraid of you, or say everybody thinks you're kind of a freaky, odd person. They think, oh, he or she is so rebellious, so different, this and that. Some chakra person might come along and just say, gee, you know, you're a very simple entity. You really aren't that much different than anybody else. You really just want this, this, and this in your life. And you just go, yeah, that's right. That's what I've always wanted to believe about myself. And so you take it in. And you, as we said before, you ride kind of on the other person's projection of you. Now we talked to, oftentimes what can happen is when when you're taking on this projection, you need that person to project that. You don't believe it. But say you start to believe it, and ultimately you do start to believe in the image that this other person sees of you. It's not uncommon for you then to say, I don't need this person anymore. And then it's over. Whatever the relationship was is over. And you have to understand, for the seventh chakra person, that can be very hard, because they have a vision, and when the vision finally seems to be connected not only from the non-physical but to the physical realms, that is, when you appear to be that person they saw you as, then you don't need them anymore. They're useless. They leave. The other person leaves. Now, if you get yourself in that position, in other words, if you're the person that gets yourself left, remember that this is a healing impulse that you have. And so on one level, you think perhaps you're looking for partners, but in reality, you're just looking at the incompleteness in people and trying to complete it for them. That's what healing is about, I would suggest, completing the energy of a person, looking at what they think they lack and opening the doorway so that they can have it. But on the very physical human level, part of you says, no, I'm really looking for a relationship. I'm not trying to be some grand healer. And that part of you can get very hurt. And so it's one thing to inspire someone to a different view of themselves. But if that's all you do, if that's like the way that you meet new people, that's how you are attracted, like what attracts you in a woman or a man is that you can help heal them, then you're going to have a difficulty ultimately, because in most healing relationships have a very definite beginning and an ending. So you may have a lot of real meaningful relationships or affairs, but in the end, nothing that is sustaining to you. And perhaps your belief is that you're only worthwhile to be in a relationship with when you are healing the other person. And that's something to consider. If you were doing nothing in the relationship you're in right now for the other person, if you did nothing, if you didn't try to make them a better woman or a man, if you didn't try to heal them or make everything that hurt them in their life better, would you still be worthwhile to be in a relationship with? If the answer is no, you're pursuing relationships more as a healer rather than as a lover that's looking for a partner. Partners can heal each other, but partners don't have to. That's all I want you to remember. You can, but you don't have to. If your only relationship to your partner is you have to make him or her feel better, well, first, that means that if that person wants to stay with you, they have to constantly have problems so you can take care of them. That's fun. That's fun, you know. And I say this to those of you that say, every time I get in a relationship, my partner always seems to have one problem after another. Maybe they're doing it to accommodate you. Maybe you need somebody to have a problem, because that's how you can stay with somebody. Once their problems are gone, they go. You go. To reiterate the basic idea of the seventh chakra belief, One of the things, those of you that say study Reiki work with Beverly, you learn basic techniques, but what you're basically looking at, if you think of, say, what makes a Reiki master, is the belief that they are tapped into that universal healing force. In other words, they have that belief. They know that. That's something that, in their mind, in Beverly's mind, that just exists. It's not open to question that the universal healing energy exists. When you come and you talk to Beverly, you experience what it's like to have that belief. And you decide whether you can live that. And if you can, you, in this case, you get your Reiki degrees and you go on with that. Those of you that work with me particularly, I oftentimes will do that. I'll make a cord from my seventh chakra to yours, and I say, and I'll talk to you, and I'll say, I'll talk to you about basic beliefs, and I'll just try to give you the experience of what it's like to actually believe what I'm saying to you. Not just to hear it and think, wow, but actually to sit there and say, this is what it would be like to sit down and live a life based on these principles. This is what you'd feel like. This is what you'd go through. And I do that because I think it's important for people to have some experience of what having a belief is like. So my point of view is being a spiritual teacher is I think belief is most important. Not so much what you believe, but the fact that you can live with belief. That belief is something that helps you to understand, to transcend the issues in your life. And I try just to present that to people. So I'll use oftentimes when you come and you sit for an hour with me, we'll have a seventh chakra cord for an hour, and it's like, wow. You'll say, gee, the world seems so wide when we're looking at it in there. It's like, well, you're connected to my belief. And I've, over the years, I have just worked very hard to have beliefs that are very general so that I would not be limited in working with people. Now, you do have to watch that kind of seventh chakra cord because another thing you can do with it, which is real common, is you can simply have someone pour their beliefs into you with the idea of not, look, experience these and see what you think, but I'm pouring these beliefs in you because these are the one real beliefs and you need to act as if you are me. So this is the common thing that when you, in the old days, and still now really, I still see it with people that have traditional gurus, Indian gurus, for example. The guru makes a cord to your seventh chakra. So when you have a problem, you look and there's that cord and it tells you what to believe and what to think. And if you agree to that kind of relationship, I don't see a problem with that. But most Westerners really don't agree to that kind of relationship, and that's why I think there's a lot of problems. And it's always interesting because if you talk to the Indian gurus, they don't understand it because for centuries there's this tradition of people coming to them and saying, teach me what it is to be alive, what beliefs to have. And so they just, this is how they do it. We just have a different cultural imperative. And so we like people to show us possibilities, but there's a segment of the population that likes to be told what to believe, but I don't think the majority in this culture does. They like to choose their beliefs. So I ask you to watch. Sometimes those of you that feel uncomfortable, if you go see, like an Indian guru talk, you might feel uncomfortable simply because they make this kind of seventh chakra cord that says, I have the truth and you will believe it. Well, they're not being invasive. They're just, this is what they've been asked for traditionally for centuries, to give certainty to uncertain lives. There has to be a point of certainty. And so this is part of their approach. And some places in this culture that mimic that have the same approach to things. The Scientologists have the same approach to things. That Elizabeth Clare Prophet and their group, they have a similar approach to things. It's like they have a cord, they are told what to believe, and they believe it, not so much in a form of mind control, and people don't get that. They're not practicing mind control, they're practicing unity in their mind. That's what they're doing. They're believing in the truth. That's the guru's job, to give you the truth. Catholics used to have those kind of cords. They really don't anymore. And that's why Catholicism is these various little factions now, more than one whole, connected to the Pope. It's hard to keep that many millions of cords, I guess. One can go on and on about the seventh chakra. But the basic concept to get is, as you believe, what you believe, that's what you can do. So for me, for example, I believe life exists outside the body. So when I'm outside the body, I'm not dead. This allows me just to simply leave my body. It's really that simple. I mean, I wish I could say to you there was a magic formula. There's not. That's just that basic belief. I don't think life is confined to this body. It's the simple beliefs that allow you to do things. I don't believe that the universe is personal, for example. I believe that it's simply a momentary juncture of cords and energies that come together, and that therefore you can change it any way that you like, that you're not ruining some plan or something. To me, it's just very mechanical. So instead of saying, okay, let's spend the next 3 years talking about your relationship to your mother, I can look and say your relationship to your mother has created a certain connection between your third and fourth chakra. Let's just change that connection, and we've changed the whole issue. Because for me, things aren't personal. You didn't come here to be with your mother. You came here to look at running your energy form with, say, at 40 vibrations a minute, and you really are much happier running it at 80 vibrations a minute, so we're going to raise it. That's all. To me, it's just a matter of changing a form, just like you might change a part in a car or change a light bulb. And that allows me to do a lot of things. I don't have any overt respect for beings that are not in physical form. So when I walk into a place and it seems like I'm in a palace and that the great guru is there, there's no part of me that goes, oh God, I'm not worthy. I just walk in. Hi, how you doing? I have a question. You know, they try to throw me out. They try to throw me out. I just don't have this overt respect that says if it's not in a body, it's better than me. It's just simply not in a body. And I say this not, excuse me, not that I'm recommending these particular beliefs, but just to give you an idea of the different things that I do. They're just based on very, very, what I consider very fundamental beliefs. And so when you want to do something, rather than looking at what alternatives, how you're going to do it, you should first look at your seventh chakra and see, do you believe that you can do what you're proposing? Because if you don't, you're in for a long trial until you convince yourself that you can. It's in for a long trial. So when I give you these meditations now to open up your seventh chakra, I want you to remember that these are meditations that are useful. When I say opening your seventh chakra, it means a way to see what beliefs are there and to be able to change those beliefs if you want. If you want. Seventh chakra is the hardest chakra to expand and open because it means you have to change your belief, how you think of something. One of the reasons I do medium work is I just think it's nice to have an entity that has no body form come and talk to people. Why? Because it makes that realm a little bit more real. Some of you believe in entities on non-physical realms now a little more. Is it important to me that you believe in Ramada or give them any kind of particular respect? No, but if you think that and believe that there is more out there than just what's in physical form, all of a sudden you have a more expanded way to approach your life. You can find different information. You can attract things. You can work on a non-physical level to get more what you want. And to me, that's the real reason just to do medium work, is simply that it just creates an opportunity for you to have a belief in another form of reality. You don't have to be a medium. Just the expansion of being able to see the world as both physical and non-physical opens up possibilities that you wouldn't have had before. And this is the difference that I try to make. Most people would say, I want you to believe in Ramada, I want you to believe in infinity as some great messenger of this or that. And they can certainly serve as messengers to you and help you a great deal, but all I'm really saying with, say, being a medium is other realms exist. Physical form is, you are not confined to your physical form. There are beings that are not confined in their expression of themselves to their non-physical form. So Ramada can use a non-physical expression or a physical expression. Each of you can do this. That's really essentially what I'm asking. That is what, from my perspective, makes what I teach different, what we teach here at the center different, is that I'm not saying to you, so believe in infinity because she's God's messenger and angel. I'm saying to you, there are angels. If you take up that belief, you will be able to work in a larger and more effective way with your life. That's all. That's all. That's the basic bottom line I'm trying to get you to. All the other stuff that goes on top of it, certainly it helps you, but to me it just helps you to ultimately face the fact of whether you believe in, say, life outside of a physical form or not. And I think that's important to face. I think that's, if you want to look at one basic belief in yourself, ask yourself, do you really believe that there's something that exists outside your physical form? Do you really believe it? Now, if you find yourself saying, well, I'd like to think so, you don't believe it. Well, maybe, I think it's possible that life exists outside a physical form. You don't believe it. You don't believe it. That's a nice intellectual position to have, and intellectually you're applauded for it. But on a belief level, so what'll happen is you'll see an entity and then it'll seem to disappear. You'll get exactly what your belief is. Well, maybe it is and maybe it ain't, so that's what you'll get. You'll get maybe it is and maybe it ain't kind of information. So I would ask you, when we're going to do this, I'll ask you to look at some basic beliefs. And I want you to just be honest with yourself, because really, there's no punishment for if you all of a sudden say, yeah, well, I believe that the physical form is the only form of life there is, and that God's a man. Well, fine. So what? At least you're honest with yourself about it. The limitation you experience is yours, and you will work with that limitation. If you want to change it, fine. We can help, but I just want you to see what you're working with, because sometimes when you say, why can't I change, you're really saying to me, why can't I believe differently about myself and the world I live in? So, let's see. Now, I know this is a long class, but there's just so much about the seventh chakra. I'm going to feel that I've given you basically like about a tenth of what I could talk to you about this chakra, but just because I know we just can't sit here all day. I'm going to give you a chant that literally on a mechanical level expands how wide you open your seventh chakra. Most people have this little cone that just goes right down through their hair spiral into their spine, and that's their seventh chakra. It's this little, I mean, truly, it's about the size of your average ice cream cone for most people, because most people have very limited beliefs. We're going to expand this, and so we're going to make the seventh chakra such that it needs to look at what, if it's going to return to its limited position, it's going to have to defend its beliefs. And I just want you to see if you really can defend the beliefs that you've, say, grown up with. whether the belief, and you might find that there's a basic belief, for example, that you're not a nice person. You're not good. You're selfish. Sometimes we get beliefs from our parents about ourselves that we forget about. But if you're always talked about as being selfish just because, say, you had a lot of... So you're one of those kids that had a lot of questions. Seventh chakra kids are real... They're a real problem. Because, for one thing, they're not in touch with reality as we know it. They're the ones that are sitting there talking to their imaginary friend. You know, and their imaginary friend to them is real. It's this other entity that exists on another, you know, there. You open seventh chakra child looks around a room and sees like, oh, look, there's this entity that looks like a large rabbit that wants to play with me. And it's just as real as if, you know, their mother was standing in the room with them. So these children oftentimes have a real expanded view of reality. And they oftentimes they get along well with the real old people, because a lot of real, like, so if you have a grandmother that talks to her dead husband as if he's in the room, that is a person who simply had their seventh chakra open, that the reality of their husband's presence is real to them, and they talk to them. In other words, you may look and say, gee, that old lady is crazy. She's talking to no one in this room. Open seventh chakra person, a little child with an open seventh chakra looks at that and says, oh, grandma's talking to grandpa, and has just no, it's just like, not like, ooh, grandpa's dead. It's just like, there's grandpa talking to grandma. It's very simple. Oftentimes, however, these children they get a label of being selfish a lot of times because their world is so different, it causes them to be more self-involved. Like, the reality they see doesn't usually jibe with that what their parents or their classmates sees, and so they spend a lot more time looking at it, and they get involved with it a little more. And so, if you're told often enough that, you know, this is a selfish thing, you're real self-involved, and you're only thinking of yourself, it's that belief can sit in your seventh chakra real easy. And... you know, you can find that, so if you're in a relationship and you're trying to please your partner, you may find that you're constantly working against the part of you that believes, well, you're selfish, so you're never going to really be able to please somebody. And so there's always this sabotage. So you want to buy this person a present, and so you buy them milk chocolates and you forget they're lactose intolerant or something, you know, and it's just, you do little things that are just, when you look back at them, you say, why wasn't I thinking? You take them to a seafood house and they really like steak or something, you know, and you're always doing things that always, they on the surface, they look great. It's like, wow, yeah, they took you to this place, but underneath there's always something that you forget that makes everything just fall through. You may be just looking at an image of yourself, a belief about yourself that says, well, you know, you're really selfish. You really like shrimp, and that's why you're going to this restaurant. You don't want to, like, take your partner out for a real nice meal. You just like shrimp. And it's hard. It becomes a difficult energy to work with, because we don't like to think of ourselves as, say, selfish, so... it would be something we would more project to other people and think, oh, they think I'm selfish. So I'm going to ask you to look at some basic ideas about yourself, basic beliefs, just so you can see what you got. Because literally, and people don't believe, this is something that most people don't believe, seventh chakra is true, but say, for example, partnership. Partnership really has very little to do with the, you might say, how people physically look. It's how they really actually believe about themselves. That's something that I've seen over and over again. One of the things always amazes me, especially when I work with actresses, is most actresses, especially the ones that are supposed to be real attractive, I find them oftentimes, physically, if I look at them very basically, I say, gee, that's not a very attractive person. But they believe that they are, and the belief really shines through them. And people go, wow, that's so attractive. And I can just see it happen. And some of them are very aware of it, that it's just their belief in themselves. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, you think like, oh, maybe you're too old for someone to be attracted to you or want to be with you on a physical level, or maybe you think you're too odd for some reason, or you're too fastidious or something. These are just beliefs about yourself, and they control who you are only as long as you allow them to do so. And the process of changing them can change the entire dynamic of your life. It's not, you know, you're not fooling yourself if you say, okay, I'm going to develop a belief that I'm lovable and attractive and sexy, even if you don't fit the model of what is that in our culture right now. It's not, you're not fooling yourself. People want to find, so someone that says, I believe that I should be with a partner who thinks he or she is intelligent, attractive, and sexy, well, they're going to look and they're going to see you, and they're going to see you that way, because we go by our beliefs. Because in the end, if you just think you're attractive, let's just go with physical things, since that's what a lot of people key on. If you just think you're attractive, in the end, you're going to have to keep proving you're attractive, and you're going to want your partner to support that. So there's, you're putting this constant energy into the relationship that says, in order to be in this relationship, my partner must always support the idea that I am attractive, because I only think I'm attractive. So in any way, if he or she looks at me like I'm getting fat, I'm getting gray, I'm getting, you know, my skin's losing its tone or something, then my whole life is going to be like, flush the toilet, everything go down. There's really no way to live. It's better to work with that belief and have someone that believes with you. If you believe you're attractive and you have someone that believes you're attractive, really, there's really not much that's going to change that. And I would encourage you not to be afraid, just to use affirmations. If you're, say, you're looking for a partner, use an affirmation that says, you know, I'm attractive, or whatever you want, what put in it. And don't be afraid just to use it. Because your beliefs will dictate who you are. Now, we'll do a three-part way to do this. First, we're going to finish up our chakra rainbow, drawing in all these different colors to the chakras up through the legs, by drawing a white color up your legs to the top of your head, you know, letting it reach the top of your head with your inhalation, and then exhaling it down the opposite sides from whence it came with your exhalation. So you make this white archway over your body. You can try gold. Some people's seventh chakras respond more to gold. Some respond more to like this rosy kind of gold color. Some respond better to white. I like white because gold tends to make you want to do something with the energy you got. It's hard to sit, and I always think it's interesting because I ask people to sit in meditation and run gold. It's one of the more difficult things, because gold makes you want to do something. So if you're looking at your relationship and you're looking at it through a gold energy, you're looking at it through an energy that says, I should do something about this, and I should do it now. The white, it's more, has that energy of, look, everything's here. Here are the structures. It just lays things out a little more directly. So we're going to use white in that area. The next thing we're going to do is I'm going to ask you to concentrate on the where your spiral of hair comes out of your head. And we're going to concentrate the syllable im, I-M, on that space. Im is a real fascinating syllable. It's a wonderful syllable to learn to work with. It's it comes out of more of a... I wish I could find words for this. I think it's, if you think of sounds as tools, I think it's a tool that's much more suited to the American temperament than the Om, actually. Om is very Eastern, very Asian, and it partakes of that idea that is in many of their societies of joining hierarchy, that there's only there's this illusion of hierarchy. The result is really that everything is together. It's too... It's a very gentle... Om is very gentle in a lot of ways. Im, on the other hand, is more... Like, more says, in the sense, everything is connected, damn it. Just get that through your head. It's just more insistent. And... Well, we have a more insistent kind of culture, a more hard-headed kind of culture. I think we're more individualistic, certainly, than many of the Asian cultures. And I find that the Im breaks through our individuality more quickly, because opening the seventh chakra is expanding beyond your individuality. So we're just going to use that Im syllable, and we're going to try to plant it right at the spiral of hair where it comes out. One thing you can do as we do this is... When we chant the syllable Im, you can imagine it starting to resonate at the very base of your spine, resonating all the way up your spine, right to the top of your head. That visualization usually helps. But Im is more for hard-headed people that have to join the group and know they want to join the group, but it's just... I don't know. Our spiritual pathways are much more singular here, and so the idea that we might join in with others is so frightening. It's hard to get us to do that. Om sounds nice, but the reality of Im, I think, is much more direct. And also, I think that Im has more of a birth quality of creating around it than Om does. And since what I want you to do is have the opening to create a new... belief, if that's what you choose, that's why I would like you to use this Im. It sets up the seventh chakra to receive new beliefs. Then, to top that all off in a wonderful way, we're going to use the chant A, E, O, and A. What we're going to do with this is, so you find where your hair spiral is. I want you just to take your hand, place the edge of your thumb right where the hair spiral is, where the edge of your hand comes to. So a hand's width from the hair spiral right in towards the front of your head. That's the first point. Then you do the hand's width from the hair spiral, cut it down your neck, and then the edge there is the second point. And you just keep making, if you take the hair spiral as your center, the four points we're going to use are one hand's breadth away from them, at the front, back, left, and right side of the head. So the front, back, left, and right points all are about a hand's width away from the place where your hair spirals out of your head. Now what that does, I'm talking about your hand across the knuckles, so from your index finger to your little finger, not from the tip of your index finger, tip of your middle finger to the wrist. I'm talking more of using your hand across from the, as I say, from the index finger to your small finger as the measure rather than the longer way. We're going to chant the ah at the front nodule. That is, you like that? I believe you're not here. I like that about cats. If I don't believe you're here, you're not here anyway. So the ah is in the front nodule. The E is in the back. The O is on the left nodule, and the ah is on the right. And each of those syllables needs to sound at those nodules on the top of the head. And when it does, it will very mechanically open your seventh chakra. Basic Effect, well, you should watch your Basic Effect. Some of you will feel like, wow, there's a much bigger world than when I went into that room today. Some of you will feel like, I got to get to work. In other words, you'll get this real first chakra kind of feeling like, you know, my house is a mess, and I got to make dinner, and this class went on such a long time, and I got to do this, this, and this now, and this. And all that's just your seventh chakra being open. You'll either respond to it with this sense of great plenty, or you'll respond to it with this sense of, oh my God, I got to emphasize the first chakra. Or perhaps you'll just sit and look at both responses and say, gee, he actually was right. Who knows? So we're going to do that, and then I'm going to just play a few bowls for you and just have you ask a few questions of yourself. I just want you to look at your beliefs. I just want you to look at what you believe in. People feeling their heads. Think of it. How much do you really know about your head, the top of your head? You don't know that much about it. I mean, some of you that practice, you know, have maybe a massage practice or go to a masseuse regularly or a masseur regularly, you are a little more aware of it than most. But when was the last time you saw the top of your head? When was the last time you saw the hair spiral? We don't think in this, this is the point I'm making. We don't really think about our beliefs, really. Seventh chakra is one of the most used but least thought about chakras. Least consciously thought about. So, my basic philosophy, and one of the philosophies of the center is, if we make you aware of your seventh chakra and start to think about it, then you'll think about what you can and can't do, and if you want to expand yourself, you'll know that you have to believe. In other words, it gives you an opportunity to expand, have more choices by changing your beliefs. Infinity does that whole embrace change meditation, and really they're that at the end they really just open up the seventh chakra. If you embrace change, you're embracing impossibilities. You're embracing, if when she says you do this meditation through all these chakras, she's putting this belief or asking you to say, experience what it's like to believe that everything changes. So that when you're sitting there sometime and thinking my life is over, or my life will suck from now to the end, that there's something that changes it, that believes differently. That's just a very, it's these little things that, well, that's what I was going to say, these little things are what keep you from the mental ward. It's your beliefs. The sixth chakra, some of the best clairvoyants are in mental homes. I've met some of the best clairvoyants I know are considered mentally ill because they see a lot, they just don't have any beliefs that give them any way to deal with that universe. It's just, there it is, there it is, there it is. It's very frightening to them. So your beliefs are important to you. Can you exist without belief? Yeah. That's the dirty secret of it all. You don't have to believe anything. I don't even know if I want to get into that with you. So we'll leave it at this. Belief is important, but you don't have to believe anything. Belief is important to get to that place where you realize belief is no longer important. So, another page in the history of metaphysics. Anyway, let's prepare to do some im here and open ourselves up. So what I want you to do is let's have some palm folded hands this time, hands folded palm to palm. Focus on the soles of your feet. Just take a minute, just kind of rub the soles of your feet on the floor so you realize that, you know, there actually is a chakra there. And with your next inhalation, draw red energy up through the soles of your feet, up through your legs, right into your first chakra. And exhale, let the red energy go down the opposite leg from whence it came. And make your next breath orange. Bring the orange up through your legs. Arc it into your second chakra area. Then exhale it down. Bring a yellow color up. Up both legs, bring it into the third chakra. Exhale it down the legs into the earth. Bring a green energy up. Or if you like, a turquoise. Breathe it up through your legs, up into your chest. Ba-boom. Then exhale it down. Bring a blue energy up into your throat. Exhale it down. Draw purple color up through both legs. Draw it up the sides of your body. Feel it come up past your ears. Go right into the sixth chakra area. Then exhale it down. Then take a white energy and pull it up through your legs. Pull it all the way up to the top of your head. Ah, and exhale it down. Now, next time you inhale the red, the orange, the yellow, the green, the blue, the purple, and the white energy all at once. Let it all meet in their appropriate chakras. And as you exhale, let them go back down the legs. And just see if you can do that, drawing all the colors at once, all to their appropriate chakras. Then exhale down. Some of you believe you can't do that, so you can't. Sometimes you learn to believe differently just because someone asks you to. That's all I'm really doing. Just asking you to believe a little differently. That when you say, I'm breathing in a red, you're breathing in a red, whether you see red or not. Focus on the seventh chakra. Focus on that hair spiral. And I'm going to ask you to do the Im with me. Just try to place it right in the center of your seventh chakra. And when you're exhaling, try to imagine that the whole sound or pronunciation of the Im is coming up through your spine and popping right into the center of the seventh chakra. It'll help you to get a little more kundalini on your side. So take a breath with me. Im. going to chant A-E-O-R. The R at the front nose, the E at the back, the O at the left, and the R at the right. So that you're essentially bracketing your your seventh chakra with these four tones. Take a breath with me. Just do it a few more times, and after the last ah, I want you to sound the M right at the center of these four dots, so right at the hair spiral itself. So A-E-O-R-M. It'll really, you'll see how it changes the direction of the energy. Take a breath. Notice how the M really changes. It makes you focus the expansion right in your own seventh chakra. In other words, not just to think about expanding your seventh, but it forces you to take all that energy and put it right in the center of the seventh chakra where it has an effect. I want to take a little time with you now and just ask you some questions while I play a few bowls, and I just want you just to, as you can, remain focused on your seventh chakra. It's not an easy focus, but you're focusing on your beliefs. But give yourself a chance to do that. It's a way of saying, I'm unafraid of my beliefs. I'm unafraid of seeing who I am. God is a man, and you're looking for a female partner who's spiritual. How will you ever find her if God only exists in them? What do you believe about yourself as a partner? Are you loving? Are you attractive? Are you sexually, intellectually, and emotionally responsive? Do you need someone to heal you? Do you want to heal someone? Is that how you can be a partner? Do you believe you're a leader, a follower, a loner?
Are you a woman or man of wisdom? Do you ultimately know what's right for you? Or must you ultimately turn to another? Do you believe that you always have the right answer? Found that you believed that you have to be poor, for example, in order to be spiritual, or that you and a partner must be poor in order to have a good life that emphasizes the proper values, and you'd like to change that. Simply create something. I believe in prosperity and partnership. I will call my richness to me. Whatever you like. I will be open to the divinity of all things and everyone, giving it neither one face, one name, one sex, or one religion. Yourself is holding back your spiritual pathway the most right now. Just ask. Perhaps you believe that you're someone special, and in order to have a spiritual path, you must be accepted as some kind of leader or guide. And unless you can have that, you won't have a spiritual path. Or you may think you're no one and should have no pretensions to any kind of wisdom or ability to help another. What is your belief that's limiting the choices you have on your spiritual pathway? focus on it. Let me use some of the sounds to just break up the form and take it away. What belief about yourself would enhance your spiritual pathway? Take a moment and just establish that belief with a brief affirmation. Thank you. give you all my blessing so that whatever you believe, you may find it to be true, and that you find strength, therefore, in your beliefs and see them as the keys to change. Thank you very much. Take a deep breath. Namaste.